To qualify as a free miner in the Forest of Dean, you need to have been born in the forest and to have worked in a coal mine for 1 year and 1 day. Robin Morgan owns the Hopewell Colliery in Coalford, Gloucestershire, and gives guided tours to the general public.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop.
But don't let, there's a handrail down here, use the handrail, then you won't slip down. It's only about 40 or 50 yards of steep. We don't come back out this way. We come out through another, there's several ways out from here actually. We come out through another entrance, walk back up through the wood. Most of the journey actually is on the level. But this first bit is very steep, so be careful coming down here. Now this mine was shut down approximately 45 years ago. And I've reopened this here. Now, all the entrances of these small mines, they were all done, but these mines were all done with wooden supports. And the entrances will always collapse once the mine's been abandoned after about 5 or 6 years. The timbers rot away, and near the surface you haven't got good solid rock. And then it just sits down on the floor. Now although this was caved in, it was the easiest bit I had to do. Because I dug it out with a machine with a 30-foot reach on it. And it's the quickest bit of mining that I've ever done actually. Because down in, to where we got to the solid rock, the road was open down there. And I went up to buy some second-hand girders from one of the local people here, and he deals in steam boilers as well. And there was a steam boiler up there. They were going to cut him up for scrap. And I thought, no, I can use that one. So I bought it off him. He's 9 foot in diameter, 30 foot long, and we had a hole cut in each end so we could walk through it. And they brought him down here on an Arctic, and we dug all this boulder clay out with this machine. And we pushed that there steam boiler down in the ground again in the rock face and backfilled over the top. And that took 1 day. If I'd had to dig that out with shovels, that would have took me a long time, like, you know. Now, the first part of this mine you're going to go through was actually the last bit I finished. Now, that might sound a bit strange, but right at the top here, I battered it back both sides and left it as an open trench. And that was the last. It took me 3 years to do the whole lot, because a lot of the time I was here by myself. And my youngest son did give me a lot of help. He's a self-employed builder. And while we were doing this, why it took so long is because I was working in my other mine, which is called the Phoenix. And we were working there. We had to do the day's work there. And I was delivering a ton of coal in the evening. Used to have my tea and come back down here. And I took that for 3 years. And I used to bring a flask of tea with me every evening I come down. And 9 times out of 10, I had to take that flask back home and I hadn't took the top off. Because when you're working by yourself, you're trying to get as much done as you can, and you lose track of time. I've come out from here many a night, 12 o'clock at night. You completely lose track of time, like, you know. So I've had quite a bit of solitary confinement down in here. Anyway, if you use this handrail on the way down, and then you won't slip. Now then on your right hand side, on a lower level than this, is another mine that was done in 1830, and I've actually joined that up with this as well. I cleaned that, I started cleaning that tunnel out from the original entrance. I came in about 150 yards, and I came to a rockfall. And I didn't know how long the rockfall was. I thought, if it's a short rockfall, I'll clean it up. If it's a long rockfall, it's quicker to drive a new tunnel round the side of it. Mm-hmm. Well, as luck had it, although it was done in 1830, they'd surveyed it, I'd got it on plans. This bit here was only done in the 1950s, so I knew this was somewhere near the mark. And what I'd done, I measured down the incline to a point where these tunnels were only 10 yards apart. Mm-hmm. I blasted a hole down through there using jellignite, just the height of the coal, actually, about 2'6", to see if that tunnel was open this side of the rockfall, to try and work out how long the rockfall was. As luck had it, the tunnel was open, but only for about 15 yards. I measured it up, scaled it on the plan, and that rockfall was nearly half the length of a football field. It was 45 yards long. So what I done, went back around the other side, drove off on a 45 degree angle for about 10 yards, then I ran parallel along the side of the road that had caved in, leaving a piece of solid ground in between the new one I was driving and the one that had collapsed. And just by taking the measurements off their old plan, which was done in 1830, I popped up through, bang on in the right place. Their surveying was very, very good, like, you know. Now then, I've done a bit of old-fashioned timbering here and there, down through here, so you can see how the old miners used to do it. But the majority of the supports I put on down through the bottom here, they are steel arsings, like you know, because it cuts the maintenance down. I'm the only one here that does the mining side of it. I spend most of my time now, I'm reopening a mine now, 200 foot on down below this seam, and I'm going to start mining coal again. We've had quite a few visitors in today, we had quite a few yesterday, but up till Saturday, all I got in was 10 people all the week, you know, so it's not paying. So what I'm going to do now is start mining coal again, and cause I want to try and keep this going, because it's part of our history, like, and it should be kept going. We could do with a little bit more support from the local schools, but we don't get it.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to flip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about
to
flip down.
Now you get to this point where I'm stood now. This is where I put the hole down through here, using jet ignite, to knock into the old tunnel that was done in 1830. And when I could see it was open, as I said, I went back around the other side and cleaned all that out then. And if you notice, I came back around here after, bore holes in the rock, because I only went down through there at 2 foot six high. And what I used here for supports, look, is old telegraph poles, because they last a long time. They got tar all the way through them, and they will last for a long time. And then on down the bottom there, when I ran out of telegraph poles, I bought timber that had been treated and would last for 10 years. So as I'm 73 now, that ought to see me into retirement, shouldn't it, by the time they wear out, like, you know. This here, look, that's the steps I used to climb the pole with. I lined a few of them up down through there. My son gave me a scrapper tube, and I bent that with my rail benders, and then brought the welder down here and welded him on, because we've got no gas in these mines. You can actually use a welder underground, like, you know. And why I used all this old stuff like this is when you haven't got any money, you've got to improvise. You've got to use whatever you can get out of, like, you know. Now, the hardest bit I had to do this whole project, and my youngest son helped me with that, is right behind where I'm standing. Now, although we got a brilliant roof in this mine, behind me it had squeezed down. And why it had squeezed down, they'd taken the coal seam from both sides of the road. Now, normally, look, this would not have caved in, because where you're all stood there was no timbers, nothing. The coal is left either side, and that's what's holding the roof up. That had not caved in. But get a big wide opening, and it'll squeeze down. Now, it was only for a 20-yard stretch, so what we had to do there, bore holes in the rock, blast the rock out from there, put up temporary supports, and then I built that concrete tunnel behind me from the bottom end back up, knocking the timbers out as I was coming back. Now, my son mixed all that concrete for me with a mixer on the top. I couldn't use ready-mixed concrete because I couldn't use it quick enough. It would have been set before I could use it. So we used to have it brought in 20 tons at a time. The boy would mix it, put it in a cart, and send it down to me. Now, there's a white cord on your left-hand side. We call that the knocker line. That rings the bell on the engine house. And when I want him to stop the cart, I just pull on there. If I want him to lower it a bit, I pull twice. Pull back up, you pull it three times. And I think he was doing a lot more work up there mixing that blooming concrete than what I was down here putting it in, like, you know. But once I'd done this short piece of tunnel here, this mine was open right through to the surface. There wasn't a stick of timber up nowhere because it was shut down 45 years ago and they'd all rotted away. Yet not one ounce had dropped out of the roof because the coal seam is left on the sides of the road and it's the coal that's holding the roof up. And what I've done down through there now, I put up steel arches all down through there, but actually those steel arches are holding nothing up at all because there was nothing here when I come here. Not as good the roof is.
Coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Now these steel archings that you can see in this tunnel, that's not proper steel archings at all. That was all straight pieces of 4x2 channeling. I had them all cut off the same length. And my son and I bent them with the hydraulic pipe benders on my drive at home, actually. And to hold the concrete in there, look, I welded three lugs on there. One either side, one in the middle at the top, which I since knocked off. Bent a piece of pipe around the inside, bolted it to the lugs. I had about a 2.5-inch gap, and I was putting 2-inch boards behind there with a wedge behind each board. And that was quite easy, putting that concrete in there. Used to stop the cart right there, throw it in, put the reinforcing bars in. Now, as you start to come up, you start to come in. And that's when it to get hard, because when you get to that point there, you throw the concrete in, it's going to fall back out.
So what I had to do then was put the boards all the way round and throw it up over top of the one behind here. There was no concrete there. And I used to push it down in with a piece of board. And when I started from this end and worked my way back up, you can push wet concrete downhill quite easy, but you can't push it up that way. It keeps coming back all the time. We used to do two sections in a day. These are 4 foot apart. That's 8 foot. And I used to leave the boards on there for 2 days for that to set. Mm-hmm. My son would go back on the building. Then I'd be down here getting all the rotten old timbers out, or as many as I could get out, taking a bit of floor, because the floor puffed up a bit, relaying a bit of track. After 2 days, look, my son would come back. That was set enough then. We could take all the boards off and do another two sections. So that's how we done it. I was lucky enough to buy these steel harchings here. I was lucky enough to buy them second-hand off a man in South Wales. He shut his mine down, and I bought these off him. The timber up nowhere down here. They'd all rotted away, and not 1 ounce had dropped out of the roof, so you can tell how good the roof is. There's no weight on them this year now. And in my working mind, I've got a coal face here. I don't know whether any of you looked at the photographs in the hallway up there. You could actually see me working on the coal face over there. I've got a coal cutting machine, and the coal face over there isn't a little short one like that. That one over there is 3 parts the length of a football field. And when you look up a narrow gap like that, it looks like half a blooming mile, you know, because it's so narrow. Because it's steep, we don't need conveyor belts. It slides down aluminium chutes into the carts. Mm. They're about 5-6 foot long, 2 foot wide. And the first one at the bottom, we got all those board in him, so we can chain him to the timbers, just overhanging, take 6 carts to time in, and the coal will drop straight into the carts. And we keep slotting the others on behind. They're nice and light, a lot quicker than fitting up a conveyor belt, right? Now then, this seam of coal here, we've got geologists here, and we've got 14 seams of coal altogether. Mm. They're all set on top of one another. They're all different distances apart. We've got a couple close enough together. You can work the two seams at the same time with a band of clay in between them. That's very rare, but I've actually done that. Now, the nearest one I got to this one here is 200 foot below where we're standing. And that's where I should be tomorrow, back down in there opening that up. And I'm going to start mining coal again. I've been in there all through the winter, and I've just got back now to where I left the coal, like, you know. I know there's plenty of coal left in there. And now that coal, I should be taking that coal over to another mine I got about a half a mile from here, because I don't want to mess around the surface here. And that's the only reason I shut it down when I turned this into a tourist attraction 10 years ago. And I hadn't been down that mine for 10 years. And when I went back in there, I left a tunnel. The biggest problem we get in the roof coming down is the floor coming up. And I left a tunnel in there 7 foot tall. And when I went back in there, that tunnel was 2 foot 6. Wow. Where the floor had risen up. Now. And what I've been doing is taking up the floor and putting all the rails back in there. And now, down there, we've got no gas in these mines whatsoever. No explosive gas. But down there, I've got a gas down there that will kill you. Oh. And you can't see it, and you can't smell it. Mm. And we've got these electronic gadgets to test in for oxygen, like, you know. And now and again, look, those things will go wrong. Mm. And they used to frighten me to tell you the truth. I work by myself most of the time. There's a dial on there, and you can read them digits all the time. But you can't keep going back and looking at that thing every 2 or 3 minutes when you're working by yourself. There's an alarm on there that should go off at 19% oxygen. The oxygen outside is about 21%. Now and again, look, that alarm won't go off. So what I use is the old-fashioned way, which is 100%. I bought 6 boxes of them this morning, actually, candles. Mm. Now, a candle will go out where a carbon lamp will still burn. Mm. And you can actually live where a candle will hardly burn. But you ain't going to do much work because there's not a lot of oxygen. But it'll give you a good warning. Now, this carbon dioxide, though, it creeps out the old workings. And some of them old workings was done back in the 1800s. You can see it and you can smell it. But it's heavier than air and it'll always come across the floor first. So that's where you stick your candles in the floor. I have one in front of me, one behind me, then I can relax. I'm comfortable then. But with these electronic gadgets, look, you're risking your life on a little tiny battery in there, like what you get in a watch, like, you know. Mm. And I don't like that at all. The mines inspector did catch me down there using them, because it's against the law now to use naked flames underground. Mm. And at one time there was 10,000 of us every day with a flame on our head out here. Yeah. That's all we ever used, was naked flame lights. He was quite all right about it, because he knows now there's no gas down here. And he searched for months. He used to come down here. There's a hole behind the boards there. He said, drop this gadget down in there, try and find this year methane gas and one thing another. And he said, no, I can't tell you to use them candles. He said, because it's getting the law. He says, all I can say is I haven't seen him. So, you know, he's all right.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop.
And then these workings here was only done in the 1950s. And where I'm going to take you to, Ricky, there are 6 miles of tunnels out there. You can't get through them all, but you can get through quite a bit. There are 6 miles of tunnels out there, and that was done nearly 200 years ago. Now, when that work was done out there, there was more people underground every day in the Forest of Dean than was on the surface. The women and the kids and all used to come to work. And apparently up in there, they had a few kids up in there as young as six, too small to do any work. And these little kids were working by themselves all day. Now, when they say working, they're talking about what their job was. Now, today, look, at one time, this coal was all dead flat. And then the centre of the Forest of Dean sank, and they all finished up now like giant basins. And the Forest of Dean is about 10 miles across it. So we got all these giant basins, and what went down, apparently, these geologists have told me what went down come back up on the outside. And what they said makes sense, because we've got coal now 900 foot above sea level. The water could never rise that high to cover it, and it had to be underwater, because that where there was a tropical forest there at one time. And when it went down below sea level, it all turned into a swamp. And then all this sand came in on top of it, look, and crushed it down to that thickness what it is now. And that 2 foot there, they said, as a swamp, that would be 20 foot thick, like, you know. And what went down came back up on the outside. And I have worked 2,000 foot down in the Forest of Dean. Now, if that hole had always been there, you'd have had a big lake, and trees ain't going to grow on the bottom of a lake. So at one time, it was all perfectly level. Now then, what they used to use these little kids for, though, out there, they couldn't follow this coal from the first, we can today, we can follow this coal from the first day from the surface. We got electric pumps to pump the water back. Out there, they hadn't got it. But they knew all these seams of coal was coming out to the grass. So what they done, they went down the Cannock Valley as far as they could, and blasted a tunnel in through the rock, nearly level. But in fact, it's slightly uphill, because we should follow an underground stream directly out to the surface. It looks dead flat. And it's that flat. When I was pushing concrete out along there in the carts, I had rails out through there then. You could let the cart go and he'd stop. It's that blooming flat, like. But the water does run out to the surface. Now, what they done, they had a blast of tunneling through the rock 550 yards to get to the coal. Because they couldn't miss these seams of coal because they was coming up in front of them. Now, they got to this one, look, and they mined a bit of this one, but they wanted the one where I should be working tomorrow, 200 foot on down there, but they couldn't go down after it because the water would have fallen down. So they had to keep going slightly uphill all the time till that seam down there had risen high enough to knock onto. Now, once they got into the coal seam then, they went 3 miles in both directions. And nearly flat again, but slightly uphill. So the water from those two tunnels would come into this one and run out to the surface. Now, when they went in different directions, they had to put up wooden doors to divert the air for the miners to breathe. Well, to get the coal out to the surface, now, they used to use little ponies, and those ponies were about that tall. There's a photograph of one by the in the shop there, if you have a look, right by the door where you go back out, and they used to have a leather casing around their head, and they used to put an oil lamp on them. I've seen horses working in the pit myself without a driver, but it was lit up with electric lights. There was no electric lights out there. There was no carbide lamps out there. All the men had was candles, and on the pony, look, I've only ever seen one of those lamps. That was 3 years ago. A man brought one in here, and it's like a miniature watering can like that, but it had got a screw on top. Filling up with oil, screw the top back on, and there was a spout in the wick about as thick as my finger. He must have had a blooming flame on his head like that, like, you know. But what they used to use these little kids for, though, was to stand by that door all day. The ponies couldn't undo the doors. And that was their job. Give them 4 or 5 candles. They'd stand by the door all day, and all that little boy would see all day would be the deputy twice a day doing his inspections, and the pony coming backwards and forwards. At the end of the day, once the miners had finished their day's work, they come out and bring the little boy out to the surface. Must have been terrifying for a little kid like that working by yourself. Like you said, the mothers and all, everybody used to come to work. Because all that was here back in those days, look, you had the iron ore mines, you had the foundries, you had the coal mines, and you had the forestry work on the top. So most people actually worked underground. And apparently in 1840, they passed a law in Parliament banning all kids under 9 years of age working in the pit. And they were supposed to have stopped the women working in the pit at the same time, but actually women worked in the pit for a lot longer than that, like. Now, out here, I've worked in the mine, I've worked in the pit for a long time. At 13 years of age, I was in the mine. My two brothers used to drop me down a shaft 100 foot deep in a 40-gallon drum with two hooks inside on a blooming hand windshine. Couldn't afford a proper pit head frame. And I can always remember as a kid, I went with them, the local coal merchant, we used his lorry, and they bought 3 trees. and about 30 foot tall. And they made a tripod over top of the pit, lashed it together with a chain, and lashed a wheel in the top of there, and they used to drop me down the shaft. I used to love it, like, you know, I better going to school, I thought this is like, I used to love it. But looking back, I ought to went to school a bit more often. I'm still here now, though. I've got nothing up there now, look. That's what you get from doing mine in, like. But I've always enjoyed doing it. That is one thing about it, like, you know. But, and I've been sort of involved in mining sort of all my life, like, you know. So as I'm 73 now, I'm just getting the hang of it now, like, you know. Now, where I'm going to take you to out there now, the work those men did out there is unbelievable. They would come in through that rock for 550 yards. They got no rock bore machines. And the dangerous job they had, look, they was using gunpowder, which I don't use today. And all they had to see was candles. Now, the holes, look, they had to knock them in with a big long chisel, about 4 foot long. One would hold it on his shoulder and turn it. One was straight with a sledgehammer. To blast 1 yard of rock off that tunnel, they'd have to knock about 12 holes in. You can just imagine the work they had to do. Now, the man swinging the sledgehammer was doing the work. But believe me, I'd rather swing that blooming sledgehammer than hold that chisel on my shoulder. You know, that must have been a day. There was no helmets or nothing back in those days, right? Now, they used to have a lot of accidents, look, with the gunpowder. Because the candle doesn't give much light. You used to have to get pretty close to the hole to see to poke the powder in. And sometimes it'd slip, look, and it'd blow up. My dad nearly got killed in the 1920s. Woman off right by him. Broke his arm in two places and his jaw. You can tell how quite a few people used to get injured with this. Now, today, look, I use gelignite. And what a lot of people don't realise is gelignite is very safe stuff to use. Mm. You can chuck it on the fire and burn it. Gelignite won't blow up. You've got to have a detonator in there to give it a good clout to set it on. Now, if you was daft enough to put a bit on a steel plate and hit it with a hammer, which you ain't going to do if you got any sense, no doubt your blooming hammer could fly back up, like, you know. But compared to gunpowder, very safe stuff to use, like. Mm. And it amazes me, they must have knocked thousands of those holes in to put that tunnel in there. You know, I worked in the pit for years, and it amazes, even when I go through there now, the amount of work they done is unbelievable. Mm. Now, I'll take you out there now. There's an underground stream which never stops running, because there's such a vast area of coal that was worked on the land side. The water is coming down through the sandstone, and it's just like tap water. Mm. And the men who owned this mine before me used to use that pump. It's still there on the side there now, though. And they used to start it up about once every month. They got a tank on the top which holds about 20,000 gallons of water. Mm. That water run down into the building, and they used to warm it up with a boiler. Where you put your lamps on, actually, they used to warm it up with a boiler, run off coal, and for 30 years, 23 men bathed in that water every day, and it's beautiful clean water. Now, when I come down here, that pump wasn't there, look. That pump was up against the roof. And there was a little hole through there, that small, and my backside was rubbing the roof, lay down. You can tell it was just big enough to get the pipe through. That tunnel out there is open perfect, because that tunnel will never puff like it does in these, when you're in the coal seam, that fire clay floor will push up. Mm-hmm. Out there, they come in through the rock, you've got a rock roof, sides and floor, so it was exactly the same as when they done it all those years ago. Now, I'll take you out and show you that stream of water now, because that water purifies itself, I think, when it's coming down through the rock. Mm. You come and have a look at it now. And it's beautiful, beautiful clear stuff. And when we go up through here, keep next to the handrail, and there's a piece of concrete there.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John.
Nobody seemed to know where John called home. He just drifted into town and stayed all alone. He didn't say much, he kind of quiet and shy. And if you spoke at all, you just said hi to Big John. Somebody said he came from New Orleans, where he got in a fight over a Cajun queen, and a crashing blow from a huge right hand sent a Louisiana fella to the promised land, Big John.
Now, this here was the most important part of the mine. They used to have a big fire up in there. Just up in the area, that roof's still black up in there now, up in the back. And just up in the area there is a shaft that goes up to the surface. Now, that shaft used to act as a chimney. And they'd have a big roaring fire going there. That fire was never allowed to work. And the heat rushing up the shaft used to drag the fresh air in from outside. Today we don't need it, because I joined this tunnel up now in several places. You can feel the air is coming through. You don't need nothing at all. Mm. But like I said, working down below, I got to keep the fan running all the time when I'm working down here. Now, when I first come down here, that stone there was only built in with lime. The bars in the bottom had nearly burnt away, and some of that stone had fallen down into there. So what I done, pulled it all out, and I brought some sandy cement down here, and built it, same stone, built it to get back in. And I cut them rails up, some old bits of railing from down here, and put them in the bottom, so you can see exactly what it was like, you know, when it was actually in use. Like, and actually, there's still a few of the ashes there now, though, from back in the 1800s, and they were working there. That tool there, I would say, was used to pull the ashes off the fire and put more coal on, because they couldn't let the fire go right out. Now, every now and again, we get down in the stream with our wellers on, clean the silt out, and we've been finding these little horseshoes in there, where they come off the horses. No one would have seen these shoes lay off. There's no driver with a horse now. And we've been down there digging them out. I got a few on the wall, actually, just there. Like. Now, as I told you coming down, all these mines near the surface will collapse because you've only got the boulder clay. You haven't got solid rock. There's no weight on here because this is a whole car through solid rock. There's no weight here whatsoever. Uh-huh. But just on out in front of us, you get to the boulder clay again. And now the free miners used to do all their work with timber. And once the timber's rot away, it'll fall in. But this one never caved in because the man who done this, back in those days, he was a wealthy man. Wow. And he owned iron foundries in the Far City as well as coal mines. His name was Mushet. And what he done, when he come through all that boulder clay, he built a stone arch. Now, a stone arch is going to last for a long time. Well, that stone arch is still there now. But what used to puzzle me was why he built it so small and no mortar between the joints, just dry stone. And because it was so narrow, there was nowhere to put the stream. So the stream had to come into the centre of the road. Now, when he done all this work, he wouldn't have had no water at all. Just a few drippers coming through here and there. But he knew once he started mining the coal, he was going to get a lot of water. Mm. And he done the preparation right first. And what he done, he thought it was a brilliant idea. He built that tunnel in the shape of a pear upside down. And the small bit in the bottom, they put timbers across there. So the water would go underneath, and the men of the ponies could go over the top. Mm. Now, when I come here, that was all rotted out and gone. The rails was down in the water. That's some of them I cut up, putting that fireplace up there. Some of them was good enough, I used them again, but the most of them was rusted away that bad, we just buried them underground. Now, what I done, I bought some concrete pipes, which were around when this work was done originally, dropped them in the stream all the way out, covered them around with 6-inch stone I had from the local quarries, putting gravel on the top, laying my rails on the top as I was going out, so I could get the materials out there. I went 20 yards out past the gate, then I ripped all the rails up coming back, and took them back into my working mine, because if I've done that now, it'll never rot away again, like, you know. So that should be there forevermore, like, you know. But what we'll do now, if you just go forward a bit more, I can show you those horseshoes on the right hand side there, which we dug out the stream.
Big Bad John. Then came the day at the bottom of the mine when a timber cracked and men started crying. Miners were praying and hearts beat fast, and everybody thought that they'd breathed their last, except John. Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John, Big John,
Big Bad John,
Big John.
Well, just have an interest here. When did they start using this mine? Well, actually, in 1821, so that's not far off, 200 years, that is when it was all started working. And they would say they would be in here for about 100 years because there was so much coal on the land side of them. It took them a lot of time to get this tunnel in here, but once they did get in here, they had free drainage. They didn't have to do any pumping. But all they could work would be the coal to the land side. Couldn't work the coal on the lower side. Did you enjoy that trip?
I did. I saw a batten there.
Yeah, there's in the other mine, look, the 1830 tunnel. We've been going through there, and of course they've just come out again. They've been hibernating, and there were three of them in the roof in there.
Beautiful. Can I ask you a question? Okay. You say you're going to mine coal again from here.
What's that again?
You say you're going to mine coal again from here at some point soon. You're going to work here again.
Where I'm mining the coal from is where you held that talk up in the car park.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right behind the big wheel. There is a shaft, there's a drift going down into there.
Okay.
And that's right, back down in there. She's back in there tomorrow, actually.
Who do you sell the coal to?
Well, we were selling the coal, all the domestic fuel we can sell locally, no problem at all.
Right.
And the small stuff, it goes to the power stations. But it got to go through a coal mine down in South Wales, because they won't deal with small people like us. The generating board won't, like, you know.
Is that drinkable, that water? That
well, I've seen people drink it, but I don't know whether they're still alive or not. I've never tried it myself. I've seen a lot of people drink it, actually.
Yeah.
One said, I got to do what Del Boy do. Remember, he bought it, didn't he?
Yeah,
the
springs.
I laugh when I watch that. I watch that show, too.
Must be very clean.
This man lies one hell of a man. Big John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Bad John.
Big John. Big John.
For further details, contact the Hopewell Colliery Museum, Canop Hill, Speech House Road, Coleford, Gloucestershire. Telephone 01594 810706. My name is Alex Milne.